He went and stood in the doorway of the pipeworks. Think, he said to himself, think. He was not even sure he could make the river journey by himself. How would he get the boat into the water? Could he lift it without help? On the other hand, how could he help Lina if she was in the hands of the mayor's guards? What could he possibly do that would not just get himself caught, too? He felt sick. His hands were cold. He stepped out of the doorway and scanned the square once again. Nothing moved but the moths around the lights. And then, down Gappery Street, Lina came running. She came slantwise across the square, and he dashed to meet her. She was hugging a bundle to her chest.
I've come. I'm here. I almost didn't make it, she said, breathing so hard she could barely talk. And look!
She folded back the blanket of her bundle. Dune saw a curl of brown hair and two wide, frightened eyes.
I've brought Poppy.
Dune was so glad to see Lina that he didn't mind at all that Poppy was coming with them, making a risky journey even riskier. Relief and excitement flooded through him. They were going. They were going.
Okay, he said. Come on.
With his borrowed key, he opened the pipeworks door, and they hurried past the yellow slickers on their hooks and the lines of rubber boots. Dune dashed into the pipeworks office long enough to replace the key on its hook, and then they pulled open the stairway door and started down. Lina stepped slowly because of Poppy, and Poppy clung to her neck, unusually quiet, sensing the strangeness and importance of what was happening. At the bottom of the stairs, they came out into the main tunnel and walked down the path to the west until they came to the marked rock.
How are we going to get Poppy down there? Dune asked.
Lina said,
I'll fasten her to my chest.
Setting Poppy down, Lina took off the coat and the sweater she was wearing. With Dune's help, she made her sweater into a sling for Poppy, tying its sleeves behind her neck. Then she put her coat back on and buttoned it up. Dune looked doubtfully at this bulky arrangement.
Will you be able to climb down, carrying her like that? Will you be able to reach around her and hold on to the rungs?
Yes, said Lina. Now that she had Poppy with her, she felt brave again. She could do whatever she needed to. Dune went down first. Lina followed.
Stay very still, Poppy, she said. Don't squirm.
Poppy did stay still, but even so, it was not easy going down the ladder with her extra weight. Lina's arms were just long enough to reach past Poppy and hold on to the ladder. She descended very slowly. When she got to the ledge, she stepped sideways, gripped the hand Dune held out for her, and with a deep breath of relief, came into the entryway. They walked to the back of the entry hall, and Dune opened the steel panel and took out the key. He slid aside the door to the room where the single boat was, and they went in. Dune took his candle from his sack and lit it. Lina unwrapped Poppy and sat her down at the back of the room.
Don't move from there, she said.
Poppy put her thumb in her mouth, and Dune and Lina set to work. Dune's sack went in the pointed end of the boat, which they decided must be the front. They put the boxes of candles and matches into the rear of the boat. It was clear they'd been designed to go there. They fit snugly. The poles labeled paddles were a mystery. Lina thought maybe they were weapons, meant for fending off hostile creatures. Dune thought they might fit across the boat somehow, to make railings to brace yourself against, but he couldn't get them to work in this way. Finally, they decided just to leave the paddles in the bottom of the boat and figure out what they were for as they went along. Dune dripped a bit of wax on the floor and stood his candle up in it so he'd have both hands free.
Let's see if we can lift the boat, he said.
With Dune at the rear and Lina at the front, they found they could lift the boat with ease. It was amazingly light, even with the boxes and pack inside it. They set it down again. The next step was to get it in the water somehow, and then get in it themselves.
We can't just drop it in, Lina said. The river would grab it right away. That must be what the ropes are for, said Dune. We lower it in by holding on to the ropes, and tie the ropes to something to keep it from moving.
To what?
They must have put a peg or something in the wall to tie it to.
Dune went back out to the edge of the river and got down on his knees. Leaning over, he felt with one hand along the bank below. At first, there was only smooth, slippery rock. He moved his hand slowly back and forth, up and down. River water splashed against his fingers. At last he felt something, a metal rod attached to the river wall, like the rungs of the ladder they had climbed down.
"I found it," he called.
He got up again and went back to the boat room.
"Let's carry the boat out," he said.
He and Lina lifted it and, taking small steps, moved it forward. As they went out the door, Poppy began to wail.
"Don't cry," Lina called to her. "Stay right there. We'll be back in a second."
They carried the boat right to the edge of the water and set it down carefully, its front end pointing downstream. Dune knelt again, feeling for the metal rod.
"Hand me the end of the rope," he said.
"Which rope?" Lina thought for a second. She realized it had to be the one attached to the side of the boat nearest her. That would be the side closest to the riverbank when they put the boat in. She uncoiled the rope, ran it around the boat, and handed its end down to Dune, who lay on his stomach with his head hanging over the edge and knotted the rope to the metal rung in the wall. He got to his feet again, wiping water from his face.
"Now," Dune said, "we can put the boat in the water."
Another wail came from the boat room.
"I'm coming,"
Lina called and dashed back for Poppy. She hoisted her up and spoke into her ear, in the voice she used for announcing an exciting game.
"We're going on an adventure, Poppy. We're going for a ride. A ride in the water. It will be fun, sweetie, you'll see."
She blew out the candle Dune had left and carried Poppy to the river's edge.
"Are we ready?"
said Dune.
"I guess we are. Goodbye to Ember," Lina thought. "Goodbye to everyone. Goodbye to everything."
For a second, a picture of herself arriving in the bright city of her dreams flashed into her mind, and then it faded and was gone. She had no idea what lay ahead. She set Poppy down against the wall of the entry passage.
"Sit here," she told her. "Don't move until I tell you to."
Poppy sat, her eyes wide, her plump legs sticking out in front of her. Lina took hold of the rope at the rear of the boat. Dune took hold of the rope at the front. They heaved the boat up and stretched sideways to swing it out over the water. It tipped alarmingly from side to side.
"Let it down,"
yelled Lina. They both let the rope slide through their hands, and the boat fell and hit the water with a slap. It bounced and rocked and pulled against its tether, but Dune's knot held. The boat stayed in place, waiting for them.
"Here I go,"
Dune cried. He bent over, gripped the rim of the boat with one hand, turned backward, and stepped in. The boat tipped sideways under his weight. Dune staggered a step and then found his balance.
"All right," he yelled. "Hand me Poppy."
Lina lifted Poppy, who began to howl and kick at the sight of the bucking boat and the churning water. But Dune's arms were right there, and Lina thrust her into them. A second later, she jumped in herself, and then all three of them were tossed to the floor of the boat by its violent rocking. Dune managed to get to his feet. He hauled on the rope that held the boat to the bank until he was close enough to reach the knot. He struggled with it. Water splashed into his face. He yanked at the knot, loosened it, pulled the rope free, and the boat shot forward.